Have you ever heard someone make the statement that they were praying and God spoke to them, or God told them to do a particular thing? Maybe God revealed himself to them, gave them knowledge of what he wanted. Well, I don't know if you've ever heard anyone make that statement or not, but I've heard it on many occasions. I've heard people say, well, you know, Pastor, I prayed and God just told me to go do something. Well, I don't know how you feel about that, but let me tell you my experience. My experience is that there are times when people say that God has spoken to them, and I really believe that he has, that God has spoken and they have connected and they've understood and they really had a true word from God. But I have to tell you, there are other occasions when people tell me that they have heard from God, and I'm convinced they haven't heard from God at all. I'm convinced all they have heard is their voice, the voice of their own inner flesh, and they really aren't tuned in to the Lord at all. Many times people say that God has spoken and told them certain things. For example, one man told me several years ago he had prayed about it, and God told him to divorce his wife. Another woman told me years ago, that God had told her that she was to leave her husband and leave her children and become a missionary. Now, you really think God said that to those people? And I've had other occasions stranger than that. I had a man come to my office just a couple of years ago here at this church. He pushed his way in on a Wednesday morning. I was there in the office. He insisted on seeing me. I'd never seen him before, and I've never seen him since. But he walked in, and he sat down, and he told me that he was a prophet of God, and God had spoken to him, and God had told him that he was supposed to preach that night in this church. I said, really? He said, yes. I said, well, tell me about it. I want to know, how did God reveal this to you? How did God speak to you and tell you you were to preach here in this church? He said, well, it was unusual. He said, I was at home sitting on my couch, and he said, God suddenly opened up the couch and sucked me down into the belly of hell. And he said, there God spoke to me and said, I'm to come and preach at First Baptist Church. Now, do you really think God sucked him down to the belly of hell and told him to come preach here? I'll tell you what I told him. I said, sir, that's interesting. And as soon as God tells me what he told you, I'll let you speak. But many times people talk about how God has told them something. In fact, this past week I was watching a news program. They were interviewing a man, and some of you saw the same program, I'm sure. They were interviewing a man who shot a police officer in the chest. They asked him why he shot him. He said, because God told me to shoot him. He said, God spoke to me in the voice of a little bird, and God in the voice of a little bird spoke in my ear and said, shoot him in the chest and he won't bother you. That stands to reason, doesn't it? Shoot him in the chest and he won't bother you. Now let me ask you, do you really think God speaks that way? Do you really think God tells people things like this, and is that how God speaks? Well, that's a good question, and those are questions that we want to deal with this morning. Take your Bible, if you will, and I want you to open them up back to the passage we were reading a moment ago. Look in your Bible to the book of Psalms. Look in Psalm 19, and in a moment we'll pick up our reading again with verse 1. We're going to talk about hearing God's voice and knowing what God is saying, or how God speaks. Now, as you read through the Bible, you're going to come across an amazing teaching, and that teaching is that our God is not a silent God. He's a God who wants to communicate. He wants to speak. He's not a God who sits mum in the heavens and says nothing at all. Now, by the way, there are times when God gets silent. I hope you understand that. We preached about that last Sunday night. We talked about the silence of God. And I told you there are occasions when God will be silent because of your preoccupation or our disobedience of some command, or he'll be silent because of a test he's putting us through. But more often than not, God wants to speak. He wants to communicate. In fact, I believe God is always talking to his people. Scripture says God is not a God who sits mum and silent in the heavens. Now, that's amazing. I mean, to think about the fact that God, who created everything, the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, everlasting, eternal God, who created everything that is and owns everything that exists, wants to speak to you or me, that is a mind-boggling thing. Now, let me tell you what I think of, though, when I read those passages. When I read in the Bible that God wants to speak to me, I have two questions that immediately come to my mind. The first question is, why? And the second question is, how? The first question is, why would God want to? Why in the world would God want to talk to someone like me or someone like you? Now, that first question is relatively easy to answer. And please underscore the word relatively. It's relatively easy to understand why God would speak to us, simply because God loves us. Scripture says God is love. The Bible says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. The Bible says we love him because he first loved us. And because he loves us, he wants to communicate. Anybody who's ever been in love, and some of you have been, and some of you thought that you were, and some of you think that you are, but if you've ever been in love, you know that love wants to communicate. And unexpressed love is a non-existent love. Now, why God communicates is relatively easy to understand. But how God communicates, that's more difficult. How God speaks to you and speaks to me is a more complicated matter. But it is more important. Let me tell you why it's so important. It is because if you don't know how God speaks, you'll never understand what God says. Let me repeat that. The reason it's so important to know this is because if you don't understand how God is speaking, you will never know what God is saying. Now remember, we're talking about a God who wants to speak to you intimately, personally today. Not just to people eons and eons ago, but speak to us now, in the present tense, right now today. If you don't know how He does it, you'll never know what He is saying. So here's what we're going to do. I want to take you from this passage and go all over the Bible. And I want to talk to you this morning about the primary ways in which God communicates. The primary ways that God will speak to you. Now please note I said primary. I hope you understand that God is God. And being God, He can communicate in any number of ways. He can communicate any way He wants to communicate. God being God, if He wanted to, He could take His finger and write a message on the clouds and say, "This is what I want you to do." Or if God wanted to, He could lift the roof off the building and say, "Boo," and you would know that God is the one who was speaking. He can speak in any number of ways. In fact, in the Scripture, God often speaks in unusual ways. Sometimes He speaks through signs and wonders, sometimes visions, sometimes dreams. But now listen to me. Those ways of God speaking are unusual. They're not the norm. They're the extraordinary, not the ordinary ways that God, not the primary ways God speaks. Now the problem with a lot of us is that that's all we want. We want God to speak to us in some extraordinary way, and we don't pay attention to the primary modes of communication. So here's what we want to do. Let me take you through the Bible, and I want to suggest four primary modes of communication God uses to speak to you. Four ways that God speaks to your heart. Now, as we get started, you're going to notice that these things build, they evolve, they come from being not very intimate at all to being very intimate communication. But you'll see what I'm talking about in a moment. Here we go. Now, the first way God speaks, write this down. According to the Scripture, God speaks generally through creation. Let me show you. Take your Bible and go back and look in Psalm 19, verse 1. Let me repeat it again as you write it down. God speaks generally or universally through creation. That is, God begins speaking to your heart just by letting you know He is God in creation. Verse 1 says this, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world." Stop right there. What is he saying? Well, the psalmist is simply saying that when you go outside and you look at creation, you look at nature, God speaks through all of that. Have you ever heard someone say they were out in the wilderness or out on the mountain, or maybe they were down at the lake or something like that, and they said, "While I was there, God seemed real to me, and God spoke to my heart. I saw this beautiful mountain scene, and God just spoke to me in all of that." Well, that's okay. That, by the way, is a legitimate way of hearing from God. Scripture says so. Scripture says that the heavens declare the glory of God. That's all right. God does speak through nature. Paul said the same thing. Paul said, "The invisible things of God are clearly seen through the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead." What does that mean? That means what you can't see of God physically, you can sense from God in creation. God speaks through creation. Now, please listen. That does not mean that God and nature are the same thing. Some of you have gotten into a very New Age kind of concept, and you're thinking to yourself, "Well, God is nature, nature is God." Let me make this very clear. God is not nature, nature is not God. God created nature. Nature speaks about God, but God is not nature. Understand? But through creation, God speaks. When you go outside and you look at the stars above, they tell you something. Did you do that when you were a child? When you were a kid, you used to go outside, look at the stars, try to count the stars. I used to go outside and climb up on top of my dad's old Studebaker. And I'd lay on top of that old Studebaker and try to count the stars. By the way, that was the only thing that old Studebaker was good for. Lay on top of it and count stars. But I used to lay there and count the stars, or try to count the stars, looking up in the starry heavens. Well, what the psalmist is saying is this. When you do that, it speaks to you about God. Abraham Lincoln said, "When I look to the starry heavens, I feel as though I'm looking into the very face of God." Now let me ask you a question. If that's true, and God speaks through creation, generally through creation, now listen, what does God tell you? If He speaks through creation, what is the message? Here's the message. Through creation, God tells you that He exists. Through creation, He tells you that He is God, that there's really a God, there is a Creator. When you look at creation, what it says to you is there really is a God. When you look at creation, it says there has to be someone who made all of this. And God's way of saying to everyone everywhere that He is alive and that He exists is through creation. For example, when you look at if you would, into a telescope, you see something of the immensity of the universe. The very immensity of the universe tells you something about God, doesn't it? You look in the telescope and you see these stars light years away. Scientists tell us that the nearest star to us is 4.5 light years away from us. As I understand it, a light year is the distance that you could travel in a single year. Were you able to travel at the speed of light for a single year? If you were traveling that fast, that's a light year. Speed of light is 186,000 miles per second, I think. That means if you could travel at 186,000 miles per second for a year, it would take 4.5 years at that speed to reach the nearest star. Just think of the immensity of the universe. Think about the sun. Scientists say that if the earth were suddenly to catch fire and burn at the same rate the sun burns, in less than 3 days, it would be totally disintegrated. And yet the sun has burned for eons and eons and eons of time. What's the point, though? When you look into the starry heavens and you see the immensity of the universe, you learn something about God. It says there must be a God to create all of this. But then when you look in a microscope, you see something of the complexity of the universe. The telescope tells you of the immensity of it. The microscope tells you of the complexity of it. You look into the microscope and you see all these things that you're made out of. Isn't it exciting? These days, scientists have gone back and they've gone deeper and deeper and deeper. And now, listen, this is great. Now they're interpreting even the genetic code. Isn't it neat how God made you in such a way as to, the moment you're conceived, to place inside of you a genetic code? And your body just sort of grows according to that genetic code. And all kinds of exciting things are coming because of that. Just this week, there was an exciting development. Did you hear on the news that scientists have found the gene that causes obesity? And now they're creating a genetic protein that can get rid of body fat. Amen, amen, and amen. Isn't that good news? Well, when you look in the microscope, you see the complexity. You look in the telescope, you see the immensity. But both of them say the same thing. There has to be a God. This doesn't just happen. This didn't just pop into space. There's a creator if there's a creation. And there's a creation, there's a creator. That's exactly what he says to you when you look at creation. It's interesting, you read the Bible. The Bible just rarely mentions atheism. In fact, it doesn't mention it. Most folks think the Bible is one long tirade against atheism. And there are many who claim to be atheists. We have some in the government, some in politics, some in the media. We have people everywhere claiming to be atheists. But the Bible does not address atheism. In fact, in all the Bible, there's only one half of one verse that speaks about the possibility of atheism. It's repeated twice, but it's the same phrase. All it says is the fool has said in his heart, there's no God. Why do you suppose God doesn't deal more emphatically with the issue of atheism? It is because God assumes any idiot, any fool who looks out ought to be able to see the stars above and the complexity of nature around him and figure out there has to be a God. And any fool can look and see that there's a creation, there must be a creator. That's why the Bible doesn't deal with it. Now, put it together. Here's the first thing. How does God speak? God speaks generally through creation. That is, He tells everyone everywhere that He is God, that there really is a God. Now, you cannot claim total ignorance of God. Paul says in the book of Romans that every man everywhere has some knowledge of God. God has revealed it in creation. All right, now, here we go. Let's move into a deeper level. Now, God speaks generally through creation. But continue to study, you're going to discover that God speaks specifically through the Scripture. Let me show you. Go back to Psalm 19 for a moment. In verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God. Then you get down to verse 7. And He says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Now what's He talking about? Now He's not talking about the general word of God in creation, but a specific word from God in the Scripture. Let me show you another passage. Leave the Old Testament, turn to the New. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. You probably know it by heart, but look at it again. Now remember what we're saying. God speaks to you. In general terms, He speaks through creation and says, I exist. Now the Bible says in specific terms, He speaks through the Scripture. Have you found it? 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. You probably don't need it because you know it by heart, so let me just read it to you. Here's what it says. Watch. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. Do you hear that? Some of you are still turning, so let me read it again because I know you're there by now. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness. What does that mean? Well, among other things, what it means is this. It means God speaks through this. He's given you a written record. He's given His Word. In fact, go back to verse 16. Notice the key word. The key word in verse 16 is the word inspiration. All Scripture given by inspiration. What does that mean? The word inspiration there means God breathed. It comes from a combination of Greek words that mean God and breath. The implication is that the Scripture, listen. The Scripture is of the very breath of God. What that means is that this is the product of God. Let me illustrate. You're listening to me. Some of you are, at least, listening to me. You're hearing my words. Those who aren't, start hearing them now. What are these words? These words that I'm speaking are the product of my breath. They're coming over my strained vocal cords and out into the sanctuary. They get into this amplification system. Somehow or another, it goes around and around and around. Whoa, it comes out somewhere. And it comes into your ears. But these words are the product of my breath. In other words, what you're hearing is the product of me. You're receiving the product of my efforts. That's what that word means. This word is the product of God's effort. God has given you this. He has inspired it. I've said it before, and let me say it again. I don't believe the Bible, as some believe it is. I don't believe the Bible is man's highest thought of God. There are those who want to tell you that the Bible is the best compilation of man's thinking of God. And what's happened is over the years, men have put together the best thinking they've got to tell you what they think God is like. Not so. According to the Scripture, the Bible is not man's highest thoughts concerning God, but rather the Bible is God's Word given to man. And there's a difference there. That God gave this. It comes from Him to us. It's His Word. You know, when you think about it, there are only four possibilities of how the Bible was written and who wrote the Bible. The first possibility is that the Bible was written by good men who thought they were doing good but really weren't. The second possibility is that the Bible was written by bad men who are trying to deceive us and make us think there's a God when there isn't. The third possibility is that the Bible was written by deluded men who didn't know what they were doing, they just wrote. The fourth possibility is the Bible was written by inspired men who heard from God and wrote it. Now, which one of those four would it be? Well, I want you to understand, the Bible is not written just by good men. Good men shouldn't have written a book like this. Because if just good men wrote this book, by the time they finished, they were no longer good because they declare in this book that God wrote it. So they become liars. And the Bible would not have been written by a bad person or by bad men. This book condemns bad men. Why would they write one like this? And it's not written by deluded men. You have to have all the oars in the water and all the dominoes in the set to write a book like this. One of the most complicated books ever written. In fact, it's not one book, it's 66 books, remarkably interwoven. Someone said you pull a thread in Genesis, it wrinkles up in Revelation, and it does. There's only one more option. The Bible's written by inspired men. Meaning what? Men who heard from God and wrote. Not inspiration like Shakespeare had inspiration, felt like writing and wrote something. But men who hear God, and God speaks to their heart, and God tells them what to write. And the overwhelming evidence of the Scripture is that that's what the Bible is. We don't have time to get into all the evidence of the Scripture that proves that the Bible is the Word of God. If we had time, we could talk about the fulfilled prophecy. Time and time again, God predicted the future in this book, and it came true, and it is coming true. How did that happen? Listen, men don't know the future. Even the devil doesn't know the future. Only God knows the future, and God told them what to write. You could talk about the historic accuracy, the scientific content, the dynamic effect that the Bible's had on people's lives. All of it evidence that this is God's Word. Now, are you with me? Have you glazed over? De-ice yourself, deglaze yourself for a moment. Here's the question. If God speaks specifically through the Scripture, what does He say? What does He tell you in this book? When God speaks generally through creation, He tells you that He exists. He speaks specifically through the Scripture and He tells you what He expects. Go back and read it. Look again, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. Let me paraphrase that. That just simply means God tells you what He expects. In creation, He says, I'm God, I exist. In the Scripture, He says, now here's what I expect of you. From the Ten Commandments forward, God's telling us, here's what I expect. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you need to make up your mind about something. If you're going to call yourself a Christian, you're going to have to decide, is this book going to guide your life or is it not? Are you going to be one of these Christians that says, well, I know the Bible has something to say to me, but you know, I really believe my way of thinking is okay. I'll do it my way. Either this book tells you what God expects or it doesn't. If it does, then you better start living this way. All right, are you still with me? Here we go. Let's go a little bit deeper. Number one, God speaks generally through creation. Number two, God speaks specifically through the Scripture. But wait a minute. There's another way that God speaks. And it's a far deeper way. Here's the third. Number three, God speaks dynamically through His Son. Let me show you. You're in 2 Timothy. Just keep turning to the right. One or two books, you'll find Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Now I want you to pay attention. I want you to see how all this is going to evolve until we get right to the end. Look in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. Now remember what we said thus far. In creation, God tells you He exists. In the Scripture, God tells you what He expects. But now you come to Hebrews 1 and the Scripture says He speaks in yet a third way through His Son. Look at this. Have you found it? All right, here we go. Verse 1. God, now watch, who at various times and various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. What does that mean? That means that in times past, God gave word and they wrote it down to the prophets. They wrote it down. Now watch. Verse 2. Has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom He also made the worlds. What does that mean? Here's what He's saying. He's saying it's not enough just that you have general knowledge that He exists and that you know specifically what He expects, but God's done one step further, gone one step further. He has made a dynamic statement in Christ. He's put flesh to it. He said, let me show you my word in human flesh. He has spoken dynamically through Christ. All right, here's the question. Are you with me? If through creation, God tells us He exists, and through the Scripture, God tells us what He expects, what does He tell us through His Son? Through His Son, God tells us what He is like. That's exactly what it means. Continue to read. It says He is, verse 3, is the brightness of His glory, the express image of His person. What does that mean? That means in Jesus Christ, God is speaking to you and says, here is what I am like. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. He who has seen me has seen the Father. You want to know what God is like? Look at Christ. In fact, notice what He says here. Back up to verse 1 again. Verse 1 says, God at various times, in various ways, spoke in time past to the fathers. What does that mean? Some translations read a little bit different. The old King James says, in diverse time, diverse ways. One translation says, in fragments in time and in portions of knowledge. Let me give you an explanation. When it says that God in times past spoke in various ways, it means, literally in the Greek, means small portions. Now listen, you've got to pay attention or you'll miss this. What he was saying was that in times past, God gave partial information about Himself. But He never gave a complete revelation in times past. To all the prophets, He gave a glimpse of what He was like, but He didn't tell them everything they needed to know. For example, He told Hosea that He was a God of love. He told Jeremiah that He was a God of judgment. He told Isaiah that He was a God of redemption. But nobody had the total picture, and then something happened. 2,000 years ago, Christ came on the scene. And when Christ came on the scene, God said, now here's the total picture. You want to know what I'm like? Look at Christ. You want to know what God thinks? Read in the Bible what Christ thought. How God feels? What did Christ feel? How God responds? How did Christ respond? He is God's dynamic message to you. literally what happened is he became flesh so you could understand what God was like. By the way, I want you to understand, this is the only thing, the only way it makes sense. Every once in a while, someone will come along and they'll say, well, I don't understand this. You Christians believe God became flesh. God became a man. Why would he do that? That doesn't make sense. Guys, that's the only thing, only way it could make sense. The only way that God could communicate is for him to become flesh. Let me illustrate it. I think I've used this before, but let me use it again. Let's imagine for a moment that you and I are on two different intellectual levels. We're not, but let's imagine that we are. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, to humor you, that you are on a much higher intellectual level than me. That you're way up there and I'm way down here. I'm on a much lower level than you. I'm not, but let's just say that I am. I want to get that in. I almost got an amen out of some of you, so I want to make sure you understand. But hypothetically, imagine you're way up here and I'm way down here in our intellectual understanding. And let's just say in your intellectual capacity, you want to speak to me. You want to communicate with me. What would have to happen? Well, in order for you to be able to communicate with me, one of two things would have to take place. Either I would have to come up to your level, or you'd have to come down to mine. Isn't that correct? You parents who have toddlers, little children, you want to communicate with them. The only way you can communicate, either you're going to have to bring them to your level, that's not going to happen for a long time, or you've got to get down on their level with them, right? Does this make sense? Nod your head if it makes sense. Okay. Well, don't you understand? That's the same dilemma God has. Scripture says that God's thoughts are higher than man's thoughts, God's ways higher than man's ways. Now, for God to communicate with man, one of two things would have to happen. Either man would have to be brought up to God's level, that could never be, or God would have to come down to our level, and that's what happened. God became man. So we know what he's like. All right, now watch the evolution here. I want you to understand this. How does it all begin? It begins with creation. God says, I exist. Then comes his word, the commandments. God says, here's what I expect. Then comes his son, and God says, this is what I'm like. All right, now, here we go. There's one last way that God speaks. And this is the thing that most of you are interested in. I hope you've been interested in the rest, but I know this is what most of you think of when you think of God speaking. Here's the fourth way God speaks. Generally through creation, specifically through the scripture, dynamically through his son. The fourth way God speaks according to the scripture, for lack of a better way of saying it, is God speaks intimately through his spirit. Now let me show you. Take your Bible, turn back to the Old Testament, find, if you will, the book of 1 Kings. Look in 1 Kings chapter 19. Let's do a Bible study, a Bible search. 1 Kings chapter 19. Now, I notice when I ask you to turn to the New Testament, a lot of folks are turning. When I ask you to turn to the Old Testament, not many do. You're probably not as familiar with Old Testament books as you are new. So look it up if you have to in the table of contents. But find 1 Kings chapter 19. Now listen, let me repeat what I'm saying. Remember, we're talking about God speaking to us in general terms through creation, specific terms in the Scripture, in dynamic terms through Christ, but in intimate terms through the Spirit. The Bible says in Proverbs, there's a spirit in man that is the candle of his way. That means God speaks to the Spirit. In the New Testament, the Bible says, God's Spirit bears witness with our spirit. That means he speaks to you on the inside. Now, before I read this passage, let me give you a very simple explanation. What does it mean when it says God speaks through his Spirit? All right, listen. As best I know how to explain it, here's how God speaks through the Spirit. They got to follow this. I believe the voice of God speaking to us in the Spirit is not an audible sound. Now, he can speak audibly, but normally he doesn't. I don't believe the man in the TV documentary who said a bird spoke in his ear and told him to shoot the cop was hearing from God. That's not God. As best I know how to explain it, this is the voice of the Spirit. It is an inner, deep, deep-seated impression in your life. It isn't a sound you hear with your ears, not something you necessarily think with your mind. It really isn't something that you feel emotionally, but there's something inside. There's this deep-seated inner impression, quiet impression, and God is speaking through that. I really believe that God speaks to His people, and the way He does it is that He places in your life, in your spirit, an impression, a deep-seated impression that you ought to do this or you ought to do that. Now, if you've never experienced this, you'll have a hard time grasping it. If you have, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But it's a quiet impression inside. And be very, very careful here. Because you see, Satan is the great counterfeiter. And what God does, Satan counterfeits. Here's his counterfeit. God speaks through a quiet impression. Satan will speak through an anxious impulse. And many people, I believe, are following not God but Satan. They have this overwhelming drive to go do something. This anxious impulse to go and do something. They think, well, God must be telling me to do this. No. God speaks through the quiet voice. The still quiet impression. See, what most of us want is we want God to speak in some dramatic form, some big issue, to give us some major sign when God normally speaks in a quiet voice. Now, let me show you that in the Scripture. You got your Bibles open? Look in 1 Kings 19, look in verse 11. Let me explain the setting. 1 Kings 19, Elijah is running from Jezebel, fleeing for his life. In the first 10 verses, he comes to a place where he's hiding. An angel appears to him. Elijah is seeking a word from God. He wants to know what God wants him to do. Then begin with verse 11. Elijah, who's seeking some big sign from God, begins to sense something happening. Are you with me? Look in verse 11. Then he said, that's the angel, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. Now watch. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountain and broke the rock in pieces before the Lord. Now watch. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind came an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. But after the fire came a still, small voice. And so it was when Elijah heard it, that still, small voice, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Now let me just sort of illustrate this for you. Do you understand what's happening? Here's Elijah. He wants God to speak through some big sign, some dramatic form. And so Elijah's praying for some word from God, and all of a sudden, there's a terrible windstorm that blows the mountain apart. Elijah's saying, that's it, that's my sign. God must be speaking. And then when all of it settles down, Elijah says, no, that wasn't God. And then immediately after that comes an earthquake, and it shakes the mountain and shakes Elijah. And Elijah's thinking to himself, this is it. Man, this has got to be a sign from God. When it all stops, though, Elijah says, no, that wasn't God either. After the earthquake came a huge fire. We don't know what kind of fire this is, but fire comes rolling across the plain. And Elijah says, that's a sign from God. Must be a sign from God. When it all dies out, though, Elijah said, no, that's not God either. And then Elijah hears a still, small voice. And Elijah said, that's God. It wasn't the dramatic thing. It was a still, quiet voice of the Spirit. It was that inner impression. It wasn't an anxious impulse. Whenever you feel an anxious impulse that you cannot seem to control, don't think God's doing that to you. Sometimes people come up to me and they say, well, Pastor, I can't help what I'm doing. God just made me do it. No. God speaks to the still, small impression. All right, here's the question. If God speaks through His Spirit, what does He say? What does He tell you? When God speaks generally through creation, He tells you that He exists. When He speaks specifically through the Scripture, He tells you what He expects. When He speaks dynamically through His Son, He tells you what He's like. But what is He telling you in the Spirit? In the Spirit, in the quiet Spirit, God is telling you what He wants and what He wants you to do. The Scripture says, you will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Now we're about to get into something that is the dividing line. Now listen, this is the dividing line between those who truly walk with God and those who just simply know there's a God who could be walked with. Those who truly walk with God believe that God does speak to them intimately. That God speaks in the still, quiet impression of the Spirit. If you don't believe that, then all you'll know is that there's a God who could be walked with, but you'll never know how to walk with Him. See, God speaks in that still, quiet voice, that inner impression. He tells you what He wants you to do. You say, well, how do I know? God is the one telling me. Whenever God is telling you to do something, God always accompanies His word with His peace. Scripture says the peace of God rules your heart. Now let me illustrate how this works in my life. As I was growing up, I knew there was a God. Creation, everything told me there was a God. Everybody I knew believed there was a God. No one knew why. They just knew there was a God. It was obvious from creation and everything else there had to be a God. But I did not know who this God was. As I grew up, I began to learn something of God's expectation. I never read the Bible growing up, didn't know much about it, but I heard the Ten Commandments, and everybody I knew had heard the Ten Commandments. But I still didn't know what God was like. Then one day, after my best friend died, and I'd gone through a chaotic emotional time in my life, I started going to a little Baptist church with Alice, who was my girlfriend at the time. She's my wife now, still my girlfriend and my wife, but I was going to church with her. And I was introduced to Jesus Christ. And when I was introduced to Christ, people started talking about Christ. Then I began to put it together. This God I knew existed from creation and understood had expectations from the Scripture began to make sense in Christ. I began to understand what He was like. That He really loved me. That He cared about me. That He'd done everything necessary for my salvation. And then God began to speak to me through the impression of the Spirit. He began to draw me to Him, and I accepted Christ. And the moment I accepted Christ, God began to confirm in me that I'm a child of God. And from that time forward, God has been leading me by that still small voice. Now granted, there have been times when I've not heard well. Times when I've not listened well. And it took me a long time to recognize God's voice. Today, however, when I'm paying attention, and you think what you will of this next statement, but I really believe that God speaks to me. Now, you can think me a religious fanatic or a spiritual fool or whatever, but I really believe that there's a quiet impression in my heart, my life, my spirit, and I believe God is that making that impression. God speaks that way. That's how I make many of my decisions. That's how I decided to come here. I did not come here because you guys are such a wonderful group of people. Now you are, but that really had no bearing on it. I was perfectly content to be where I was. But as God began dealing with me, there was just this inner impression that this was going to happen. I never had an overwhelming impulse to come to this church. I don't recall ever calling the pastor search committee and saying, guys, have you made up your mind yet, huh? I really think this is where God wants me to be. Don't you agree? But from the moment we began dealing with this church, there was this quiet impression that this was going to happen. That this is what God wanted. And I began walking in that direction, feeling peace about it. The day you voted to call me, 3 years ago, someone told me these flowers, they said, read the bulletin, Pastor. The flowers are in honor of my third year here, starting my fourth year, complete my third year as pastor of this church. I didn't know that because I don't read the bulletin very often. Thank you very much, by the way. But when you voted on me and you said, well, we want you to be our pastor, I went away and I prayed about it. And is that what you want, Lord? And I never had this overwhelming impulse to say, yes, that's what I want. My family did not jump up and down and say, yes! But there was that quiet impression that this is where God was leading. And we walked in that direction. And we felt peace about it. That's how God speaks. I believe in this service, the last service, maybe in both services, there are people that God's been speaking to just like that. Some of you who came to church this morning because all week long there's been that inner impression that you ought to be here. Now most of you are here because you're just here. You're here because it's Sunday and that's what you always do on Sunday. But there's some of you, you're here because there was this impression to be here. God's been speaking to you about other issues. For some, God's been dealing with salvation issues. Some repentance, some decision in life. That's how God speaks. You see, I really believe the issue today is not is God speaking, but are you listening? In fact, I think He's speaking right now. I think He's speaking to hearts. The issue is, Are you paying attention? Are you listening? See, the God that I know is a God who speaks to you. Let's pray together. Well, Father, we thank you for your word. I'm so glad that you're a God who does speak, that you're not a God who remains silent in the heavens, that you're a God who tells us of your presence. In creation, you let us know you exist. In your scripture, you give us insight as to what you expect. Through your Son, we know what you're like. And through the Holy Spirit working within, that quiet impression, we understand what you're saying, what you're calling us to do. Sometimes that quiet impression is a great sense of conviction, that longing, that nagging, persistent conviction, quiet conviction that we're wrong about something and you need us to repent. Sometimes it is that comfortable sense of confidence that you're in our life and you're moving us in a direction. But thank you that you speak that way. And I really believe this is the dividing line between those who walk with you and those who wish they could. Father, I go on record, I stand and I state to this congregation, I just believe you are an intimate God who speaks to me and to them in an intimate way. I don't think the issue is, are you speaking, but what are you saying? Father, would you give us the integrity to listen, not to write you off, not to say, surely I have the answer, but to listen to that quiet voice of the Spirit within, and then to say, yes, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I will do. And Father, in these next few moments, speak to us this time of invitation. Let it be your time. Have your way in Christ's name. Amen.